Hello, hello, and welcome to the Healthy Body Podcast. My name is Brianna Wilkerson from Made Well, and I am your host. I am a holistic health and life coach, CrossFit Level 1 trainer, and a doTERRA essential oils advocate on a mission to empower women to be healthy and thrive in all areas of their lives. But I truly believe in order to do that, it starts with your physical health and it starts with having a healthy body. So this podcast is all about providing you with the resources, support, and encouragement you need to get a healthy body and healthy life in a natural, sustainable way. You'll find solo episodes and interviews on what I call my 7 pillars of a healthy body: nutrition, exercise, stress management, sleep, digestion, toxic load, and mindset and habits and other areas of your life. You'll also find bonus essential oil features empowering you to use essential oils in your everyday life. I'm so excited you're here again and hope you subscribe, rate, review, and let me know how each episode impacted you. So stay tuned for the next episode and a brief introduction to the episode's sponsor. This episode of the Healthy Body Podcast is sponsored by Made Well's Healthy Body Academy. The Healthy Body Academy launches in November 2018 and will be a membership community and transformational space for women to get a healthy body naturally, sustainably, alongside one another. The Healthy Body Academy will have monthly masterclasses and trainings, mini challenges, live Q&A sessions, gratitude and intention sessions, and so much more. And some of the bonus features include a private Facebook community, access to my extensive archive of trainings and resources, and even accountability partners. So if this sounds like something that you really need to get the healthy body you want naturally and sustainably, I encourage you to join the waitlist. Go to madewell345.com/healthybodyacademy to learn more, join the waitlist, and get access to my free resources and free community in the meantime. So I'm so excited you're here again. Thank you for tuning in, and now it is time for today's episode. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Healthy Body Podcast. It is Brianna Wilkerson, your host, and today with me I have Laura Adler to talk a little bit more about toxins. She's the one online that I follow about everything toxin natural related, so I am just so excited to have her on today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yay, of course. So can you just maybe take a moment and just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah, so I'm an environmental toxins expert and educator, and I have almost for the last 7 years been almost exclusively educating allied health practitioners like health coaches, nutritionists, chiropractors, acupuncturists, doulas, fitness professionals, the whole gamut, about the role that chemicals in our daily lives, hidden in the consumer products that we buy and use every day, hidden in our food, in our drinking water, even in the air that we breathe, how these chemicals can affect our health, and where these chemicals are found, how they affect us, and most importantly, what we can do about them. And, you know, I just sort of stepped into this space unintentionally. I was always interested in health and nutrition in my, you know, teens and early 20s, and but had another sort of corporate career in stock photography, intellectual property, totally unrelated, but was sort of secretly always interested in wellness. And, you know, I discovered this thing called health coaching, and I was like, ooh, this might be a fun way to kind of flex that healthy, nerdy muscle while being able to help people, and maybe that will be my job. It was sort of a novel idea at the time. So I went back to school, got certified as a health coach, and pretty quickly started to see clients, but some of my clients, they were mostly looking to me for weight loss. Some of my clients had great results, other clients had no results, and that really kind of left me, you know, scratching my head wondering what I was missing. So it was really in diving into the research into resistant weight loss that I landed into this sort of whole world of environmental chemicals, because there's a strong connection between chemicals and weight gain. But also, my sister-in-law was pregnant with my niece at the time. She's now 9 and a half. It's my gauge for how long I've been doing this, in case I ever forget. And I was really sort of frantically researching products for my, you know, soon-to-be arriving niece on what would be safe. And I was sort of horrified by what I was researching, and I realized quickly that this is not a conversation that was being had out there in the world, and it wasn't even a conversation that was being had within the community of health coaches and nutritionists that I was, you know, kind of coming from. And I figured if we don't know, who's going to be the one that's going to tell the general population? And so I really started to, do all the research that I could. It's a nonstop full-time job doing research because this topic changes all the time. I decided to start working with the health practitioners to up their fluency so they can be a support person for their community and the communities that they serve. So it was kind of on accident, but think it was meant to be because it's a topic that I'm quite passionate about.
Mm, that's just amazing. Because I think as I learn a little bit more too, you know, we were talking earlier about that, you know, I do doTERRA, and one of the big things is reducing your toxic load. And I think it was so interesting that you talk about the impact of toxins on your weight gain, because yeah. I think we don't typically make that connection. And, you know, we say nutrition and exercise, that's it. We forget about stress, sleep, and especially.
But why would we make that connection? Because there's how could my shampoo be making me fat? Right. And so there's a sort of like incredulous idea that, or, you know, feeling that like there's just no way that those things are real. And you're right, you know, the conversation has centered around diet and exercise. If I just eat less, if I just work out more, if I just go back on Weight Watchers, like it's always that, you know, I think we're programmed and conditioned to think that it's just one thing, right? Like we want the smoking gun. We want to think in simplistic, basic terms, because when we do that, it's more likely that we will, quote, find a solution, right? This worked for my cousin Susie, maybe it'll work for me. And so we're distilling this really complex web of mechanism into just this simple calories in, calories out. And the reality is that it's more complex than that. And there's pieces of the conversation around weight that are very directly tied to exposure to environmental chemicals, both us as adults and, you know, when we are in utero being exposed to these chemicals that can, you know, change the outcome for those children's lives, where they can maybe increase their propensity for developing weight problems in adulthood themselves. So it's a sort of a new conversation, newish conversation in the weight loss realm. But it's a big one, so it's just so important.
Yeah. So what have you found to be, you know, because this is and you've been doing this for years, and as you research, you probably learn more and more. There's so many facets to it. But what have you found to be some of the biggest impacts of toxins on our health? And maybe actually before that, what are some of those toxins that people probably should be looking out for in their
body? Yeah, so I'll kind of answer both of those at once, and I'll at the same time apologize for the leaf blower that's now on the other side of my window.
It's all good.
Because they're always there. So hopefully they'll pass. And hopefully it's not too distracting. So, pretty much we all know that chronic illness is on the rise. I think that, you know, whether we look at statistics or data or not, I think intuitively we see that because we see more and more people that are not only sicker, but they're sicker with more complex chronic, that means long-term health issues, hormone issues, thyroid issues, which is a hormone issue, autoimmune issues, digestive issues, allergies, asthma. We've got children with developmental disorders. We've got, you know, this problem with this sort of ballooning weight across our society. We have neurodegenerative health issues like dementia and Alzheimer's going up. We've got cancer rates going up. So we see that these diseases are increasing. And unfortunately, a lot of the rates of these diseases are increasing at a rate that is faster than can be explained by genetics. So our genetics don't really change that quickly. But what does change very quickly is the environment. And so when we have disease rates that are upticking faster than can be explained by environment, the only other culprit is explained by genetics, the only other culprit is environment. So when we're looking at how these things can affect us, it's all of those things. It's all of those chronic diseases, but it's also things, you know, like the sort of more seemingly superficial ones like headaches, sneezing, allergies, even things like dizziness. So I know a lot of people who have a very hard time walking through like the laundry aisle in a grocery store because the fragrances from these products are so overwhelming that they get a headache, they start sneezing, they get dizzy. So those are sort of more acute reactions. But, you know, what people have to recognize is that, yes, there are acute reactions to exposure to toxins. And I think I'll clarify that most people, when they hear the word toxins, are thinking of things that are going to send them to the emergency room or that's going to require a phone call to poison control center. That's not really what we're talking about here. Yes, drinking a bottle of bleach is toxic, has very, very acute effects, will destroy your esophagus, all those bad things, and your stomach and all that. That's not really what we're talking about here. What we're talking about are these sort of really, really, really small levels of exposures that we're getting every single day that are just kind of slowly nudging the direction of our illness or our illness potential or disease risk, depending on how you want to say it. And so we're not typically experiencing in our daily lives acute exposures that are going to require a trip to a doctor immediately. In fact, most of the quote symptoms are not things that we would ever associate with an exposure to a chemical like weight gain, right? Like we would never make that connection, but it's there. We would never make the connection between the personal care products and the laundry detergents, et cetera, and autism or behavioral problems or memory problems or even your mood or your energy problems. So all of the things that you can possibly think of in terms of a health effect are or have the potential to be exacerbated by or caused by exposure to environmental chemicals. So, you know, sort of pin the tail on the donkey, it doesn't matter where you pin it. If it's a health issue, there is some link or association between exposure to these chemicals and that health effect. So in terms of like, what kind of things are we seeing? It's those things. It's autoimmune issues. It's Hashimoto's. It's things like early onset puberty. It's things like behavioral problems, ADHD, developmental disorders, social disorders, feminization of males. We're seeing that. We're seeing, you know, things like testicular cancer, ovarian cancer, breast cancer, Parkinson's, dementia, heart disease, diabetes, like literally you name it. That's really what we're seeing. And like I said, the associations are pretty strong. So I think that was the first part of your question. I think the second part of your question was, where are we being exposed to these? I think that was correct. So, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, more on the unfortunately side, we are exposed to low levels of environmental chemicals every single day, day in, day out, primarily inside our homes, but absolutely outside of the home. You know, a lot of times we're thinking about toxins or environmental toxins in terms of air pollution and oil pollution and plastics in the ocean. 100% those are environmental toxins. But as individual people, I can't do very much about that on a grand scale. And I'm not necessarily, like, I can control what's in my home. I cannot control what particulate matter might be in the air. And so when we're talking about our daily exposures, we're talking about the products that we are buying and using every day, our household cleaners, our personal care products, our laundry detergents, the plastic containers that we store our food in, our air fresheners, the carpeting under our feet, the couches that we sit on, the paint on our walls. Like, it is endless. And I say that knowing that my saying that can overwhelm people. But, you know, the idea here, and I think our overall goal is that we want to start dialing down the exposures that we're getting and cutting back on the number of exposures that we're getting so that we can sort of reduce the overall burden on our body to try to process these. So we are exposed in the kitchen through the foods that we eat, through the water that we drink, through our nonstick cookware and our food packaging, whether it's, you know, bisphenol A in the can linings and in our plastic containers, whether it's the microwave popcorn bag that has perfluorinated chemicals, which are, you know, nonstick chemicals, the same ones that are found in your nonstick cookware. We are exposed through, you know, the meats, the dairies, the seafoods that we're eating, the pesticides that are on our produce, and that's just one room. So that, you know, we're being exposed in all the places. And, you know, I think the reality of this conversation is that we can't change every single one of those. I know that. And I never will, you know, want people to think that I gotta change all the things right away, because, you know, most people are not going to be in a position to throw out their sofa if they learn that their sofa has flame retardants. It's a bigger investment, but guess what? Like, you can totally change the household cleaners that you use and your laundry detergent and your organic foods and increasing organic foods. So there's a lot that we can do with those products that we're bringing into our homes. It was sort of a big mouthful just then, but.
No, that's good. I mean, I think you just gave an overall summary, but I love how you just, you know, encourage people to start somewhere and start like slowly changing your, you know, and I think that goes with anything with our health and in life. Oh, yeah. You have to start in a small, but also see it as a priority to start small. So for example, you know, reading the toxin solution, I'm just like, am I drinking organic coffee? Because I drink a lot of coffee. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I have been. So I just made that small switch. And I've been cleaning my produce, trying to obviously get clean. And then if not, I clean it with, you know, lemon and all that. And I honestly, in the last 2 weeks, have felt a huge difference. And that's small ways, you know?
Yeah, you know, what's fascinating is that when we give our body a chance, emphasis of when we give it a chance, it can actually be really good at clearing out some of these toxins. So, you know, when it comes to organic foods, there's been a number of studies that have looked at what happens when people switch from, like, you know, their regular conventional diet to a mostly organic diet, not even 100% organic, because that's really hard and people eat out and most restaurants don't serve organic food. But even a mostly organic diet drops the circulating levels of organophosphate pesticides in the body within 3 to 5 days, to drops it by 90%. 80 to 90% in 3 to 5 days. So what that's telling us is that, you know, the levels of these chemicals can actually drop significantly in a really short amount of time, just taking those chemicals out of circulation. But the required action step to make that happen is avoidance. So we have to avoid exposure. And that's what happens when people are switching from pesticide laden conventional foods to organic foods. They're avoiding those pesticides and herbicides that are residues that are on those foods. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we start taking action, for some people, you know, toxins is the last, like, is the thing that's keeping them stuck, either in their hormonal problems or their autoimmune problems or their weight problems or their allergy problems or their energy problems. Because a lot of times, you know, people have done, quote, all the things already. Like, they did all the other things. They're sleeping, they're exercising, they're starting to eat better, and nothing's happening. That's really when we, you know, when people start kind of moving in the direction of perhaps looking at their environment. I just want people to do that sooner so that they don't have to go through that process of being like, oh, I did everything else. And this is a simple thing to do, is to start making these changes. But, you know, yeah, there's, you know, eating a organic diet over a conventional diet is hugely important. A study just came out that found that eating organic food dramatically lowers cancer risk. This is a large study, I don't remember how many people, 30,000 people or something in this study. And it dramatically lowers the risk of certain cancers. So why wouldn't you? Cancer's on the rise. Mm-hmm. Cancer rates are increasing. But of course, when we look at, you know, the news about cancer, it's, you know, the death rate is decreasing, meaning people are living longer with cancer, but are they living better? Mm-hmm. And increased lifespan doesn't mean anything if incidence rates are going up. And that's what we need to look at. And incidence rates are going up. That means more people are getting cancer than they used to. Who cares? I don't want to say who cares how long they live. That's an insensitive way to phrase it, but the more important metric is cancer increasing, not can we manage it better?
Right.
Right. And so, you know, if we have a study that's saying, look, just on its own, the consumption of organic foods can decrease cancer risk, let's all go do that. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're right. Because that's not, I feel like those reports aren't really what we're being sought, you know, shown. And so,
no.
And I think it's just so interesting too, because I think my pastor the other day was just like, we were talking about death, and he's just like, you know what, I would rather live a really healthy life and then just go versus living 10, 15, 20 more years sick.
Sick.
And everyone's like, what? But he's like, why would you want to do that? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's true. And I think that's, you know, disease is common. It's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big difference between common and normal. And I think we've all come to expect that, like, well, I'm going to end up getting some disease because everybody else has disease. Well, mm-hmm. that's not normal. Just because something is common does not mean that it's normal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's common at this day and age is that women develop cancer. That's pretty common. Is that normal? No, mm-hmm. it's not normal. Mm-hmm. But because it's so common, it's just sort of like pervasive in our thinking and our mindset and our expectation. And so we feel this, you know, sort of, oh, well, I guess it's going to happen, you know, because it's common. Why bother doing anything? And I think that's a really short-sighted approach, because we can do so much. We can do so much to alter the expression of our genes. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, my genes are my destiny. Cancer runs in my family. Dementia runs in my family. And you know, for a long time, we did think that our genes were our destiny. And it's sort of like, oh, okay, well, I got dealt a bad set of cards. But we know now that our environment, and by our environment, I mean exposure to chemicals, stress, exercise, diet, nutrition, everything, trauma, all of these things can actually alter the expression of our genes, kind of flip them on or off like a light switch. So just because you have genes in your family for cancer doesn't mean that you have to turn those genes on. If you lead a lifestyle that, you know, you smoke and you don't exercise and you eat a poor diet and all of those things, those are more likely to turn that switch on. But by doing the inverse, we can actually alter that expression and turn that gene off. And that's what's so powerful about epigenetics and our genetics, is that it's malleable and we can change it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we start reducing our exposures to toxins, which are one of those things that can alter gene expression and not in the right direction, you know, it's changeable. The expression is that, you know, your genetics loads the gun and it's the environment that pulls the trigger. So change your environment, take your finger off the trigger.
Yeah. And I think it's important what you're saying too. Like, so for example, my grandfather who used to smoke and who used to drink, and I think he eventually cut those out, went to the doctor, like, you're at risk of diabetes. He's like, okay. And he's 70 something, maybe 80 something at this point. He's like, okay, I got to change this. And he did. And he's not at risk anymore, you know? So it's like, it doesn't matter what the age or the situation, we can do something to a certain extent.
Absolutely. And you know, what I think is great is, you know, when we start addressing the little, you know, little bits of exposures that we're getting every single day, in our homes, like, we can do that pretty quickly. And what's nice is that, you know, when we're changing our diet, that can actually be pretty hard for people because there's a lot of emotion and culture and history and preference that's sort of tied into food and, you know, the psychology of eating and, you know, emotional eating. And, you know, when you switch your laundry detergent, it's not this like agonizing, like, should I eat the cake? Should I not eat the cake? Like, you just make the switch. You know, you're not going to look in your cabinet and be like, I really love all those plastic containers. I don't know how I could live without them. Like, that doesn't happen. So when people start making the switch to reducing exposures to these products in their homes, again, things like plastics, food packaging, canned foods, pesticides on their produce, their personal care products, their household cleaners, getting rid of things like air fresheners. Like, when people start making those switches, it can actually feel very freeing, right? It's sort of like a burden lifted, because, you know, some of these interventions are free. Like, if people are using scented candles and air fresheners and plug-ins, like, those are all made with highly toxic not again in the poison control way, but toxic on a cellular level, chemicals, particularly the fragrances that are used, contain a chemical called phthalates. Phthalates are an endocrine disrupting chemical, so that means that they mimic or block the role of other hormones, particularly estrogen, but other hormones, it can be androgens and anti-androgens, testosterone, and they can actually interfere with our hormone levels in very significant ways. And so to deal with that, guess what? We just throw them out and then stop buying new ones. Like, that's a free intervention. Mm-hmm. Just don't buy them.
Yeah. And just find a more natural alternative.
Yeah. Like, if somebody wants to have a fragrance in their home, go with a good quality essential oil, but you don't need to have these synthetic fragrances. And what I tell people is, you know, when people switch from like a conventional, you know, SAD American diet, standard American diet, where they're eating, you know, Pringles and Fritos and this hyper salty, hyper sweet, hyper fat, super hyper palatable food, their taste buds are like fried. So mm-hmm. of course vegetables are going to be like, well, this doesn't taste like anything. Well, yeah. Of course it doesn't taste like anything. Your taste buds need major recalibration. And what happens is when people move away from that hyper palatable food, their taste buds do calibrate, and then they can, you know, really enjoy the subtlety of flavors in fruits and vegetables, and their whole palate changes. And the same thing can actually happen for us when we get rid of all these synthetic fragrances that, you know, for a while, maybe we, you know, we love them and we think of them as normal, and then you kind of clear them out of your home, and your home doesn't stink like, you know, morning dew and autumn sunrise and all this, you know, garbage. They're like paint chips, so, you know, like, yeah, they're just those names. That your sense of smell recalibrates, and if you clear all that stuff out and then you go back into a house that has those things, or, you know, like what happens for me all the time is anytime I'm like going to the airport and I got to get in a lift, undoubtedly there's one of those like air fresheners in the car.
I was just thinking that.
Oh god, they're everywhere. I can't tell you how many like unsolicited mini lectures I've given to people.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes well received, sometimes yes. not. But that when they walk back into that environment, they're like, oh God, I have a headache. Yes. Where they were swimming in it before. And so, you know, we can actually change the way that our sort of palate responds to these scents. And I think it's so important to get them out of our home environment. And, you know, it's not just for this sort of like theoretical detoxing my space. When we get these out of our homes, we can actually reduce the levels of these chemicals in our bloodstream, just like I said with the pesticides. So there was a study done, it's called the Hermosa study, and it was looking at Latina girls, like, you know, 12, 13 years old, and the personal care products they were using. And that, you know, the study recruited a bunch of girls to say, okay, we're going to measure your urine for metabolites of these chemicals with the products that we're using. And then we're going to give you personal care products that don't have these synthetic chemicals that we're measuring. And we're going to have you use those. And we're going to measure your urine levels after 3 days. And they found that just after 3 days of switching to these safer, less toxic personal care products that didn't contain the phthalate fragrances and paraben preservatives and triclosan, which is an antibacterial ingredient, the levels of those chemicals dropped in their bodies between, I think it was like 20 and 40 something percent just in 3 days. Hmm. So we're doing this not for fun, not for a theoretical, like, oh, I'm just reducing. It actually helps to reduce our exposures, reduce the levels of these chemicals in our body. Our body cannot detoxify or metabolize every chemical that we come in contact with that quickly. Some of them, you know, stick around for a very, very long time. So non-stick chemicals, the perfluorinated chemicals, the flame retardant chemicals, some of these can have what's called a half-life, which means that only half, like, if this is the amount of time it takes for half of the quantity, provided no new input, to be metabolized or broken down. But the half-life of some chemicals, like PCBs, can be up to 25 years. Mm. So, you know, that means that we're building the levels up inside our body faster than our body can break them down. And that's a problem. And, you know, we know that these chemicals are in us because the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in partnership with the National Institutes of Health, regularly measures levels of chemicals in people. And they found over 212 chemicals in humans. So we know that, you know, we are being exposed. We know that these chemicals are inside of us. And there's all of this research that's been coming out over the last, you know, 20 years that's showing that these low levels that we're getting every day can actually be super impactful in our health. The model of thinking, especially in the field of toxicology, but in general when it comes to chemicals, is there's only going to be a health effect if you're exposed to like a big pile of this chemical, right? Like if you work in a factory or you have some, you know, like you trip and fall into a big vat of phthalates and, oh, that's really bad, that's really toxic. Because the sort of idiom in the world of toxicology is that the dose makes the poison, which means that the higher the dose, the more increase of risk or harm or symptom, and the inverse being that small exposures don't really do anything. They're not meaningful. And for some things like radiation, 100% true. That is very true. We get a radiation exposure from being out in the sun, from, you know, bananas have radiation, everything has radiation. Those low levels don't affect us. It's the high levels of radiation that do affect us. So that's true. But for a lot of these chemicals that we're being exposed to, that dose makes the poison argument does not hold true. And these smaller doses that we're getting, these really teeny tiny bits that we're getting in our shampoo and in our body lotion and our deodorant and our, you know, other hair products, those low levels do actually have an impact. They are bioactive at levels that are very low. So it's so important for us to start addressing these exposures and clearing them out of our daily lives as much as we can.
Yeah. So if people listening are like, they're probably like, whew, you know,
yeah,
but good. You gave them a good overview. So like, what would you say are the first few kind of steps if they're really new to, you know, detoxing, yes, reducing their toxic load, what can they do from here?
Great. Well, there's a lot that we can do. So, you know, there's a couple sort of non-negotiables for me that are the first steps that people can take to start decreasing their toxic load. And then I'll answer by sharing some things that we can do to increase our ability to detox. Mm-hmm. So we're decreasing exposure while increasing detoxification. It's the sort of 1-2 punch process. So in terms of reducing exposure, eat organic food as much as possible. It's a big deal. We should all be doing it. If somebody is pregnant or has children, this should be a non-negotiable. Should be a non-negotiable. I know that it's hard for people to budget. I know that eating organic can be more expensive. It is worth it. So eating organic, I think, is number one. Number two is going to be, and some, you know, some of the rest of these, it doesn't really matter what order that you do them in, just that you do them. Ditch the plastics in your kitchen. Plastic's not going anywhere. I'm surrounded by plastic. I have supplements that are in plastic bottles and plastic eyeglasses and plastic pens. We're not really concerned about those types of plastics. We're really only looking at plastic exposures that are happening in the kitchen that have direct contact with our food. Kids should not be eating off of plastic plates with plastic utensils and plastic cups. They can handle glass plates or glass cups and metal utensils. It's just, people did it for decades, right? And we lived. So we want to ditch the plastic that's coming in contact with our food. That means we're not heating things up in the microwave in plastic containers. We're not storing our leftovers in plastic. And eventually we're moving towards buying foods that are packed in glass versus plastic. That's an important piece, but it's sort of a, let's get that when we get to it. Reducing the use of canned foods, because canned foods can contain the chemical bisphenol A or some of the replacement chemicals like BPS or BPF. So, you know, even when we're saying move away from plastics, that includes moving away from BPA-free plastics, because BPA is just one chemical in this family. And manufacturers will often swap that out with other chemicals that are just as problematic So it's kind of a disingenuous label. Mm-hmm. So getting rid of plastics is super important. I would say absolutely look at the home fragrances that people have. So ditch the scented candles, air fresheners, plug-ins, room sprays, Febreze products. These are just literally polluting the air inside your home. The Environmental Protection Agency has found that the quality of air inside our home, meaning the amount of air pollution that we have, can be 5 to 100 times worse than air outside. So we think that it's the air outside that's polluted. If we're using all of these fragranced products and have lots of off-gassing materials, our indoor air can actually be worse, which is a bummer since we spend, you know, 90% of our lives indoors, whether it's our home or our office. We spend usually, you know, at least 60% of our lives at home. So it's important to address. So those are sort of like the low-hanging fruit items. For sure, looking at personal care products would be next. Filtering your drinking water, super important. People take for granted that our water is, quote, clean in this country. Yes, we do not get typhoid and cholera and dysentery from our water because of bacterial contamination, but everyone is drinking some contaminants that are, you know, linked to health issues in our drinking water. So it's super important to filter our water all the time, as much as possible. So those are all things that we can do to you know, start decreasing the exposures that we're getting. But if we want to pair that with things that we can do to actually increase the speed at which some of these chemicals that we are exposed to leave our bodies, we can make sure that we're eating super nutrient-dense foods, that we're eating our broccolis and our cabbages and our kales, because these brassica, the family of vegetables, these brassicas can actually have compounds in them that help with liver detoxification. And liver detoxification is our sort of primary, the liver is the primary workhorse in breaking down those chemicals. So we really want to do anything that we can to support our liver. We can do things like making sure that we are eating selenium-rich foods, that we're eating things like any antioxidant-rich foods are going to help combat some of the effects of exposures. And then things like sweating. So get in the sauna. Sauna is a great way to help mobilize and excrete some of the toxins that we're exposed to. And there's a lot of studies primarily coming out of Finland showing that regular sauna use, in essence, decreases all-cause mortality. So it's really sort of a lifestyle practice that feels good, that's safe, and that can really help to decrease our toxic load. So we want to dial down our exposure and dial up our detox pathways. So that's sort of like, I think when people take that 1-2 approach, we can actually see a big shift in how we feel for some people pretty quickly, which is great.
Mm-hmm. So good. This has so many good gems for people this episode. Okay. I have to go re-listen. Like, you just put it all together in one place. So that's just awesome. I think those listening just really kind of, hopefully you can go back, take some notes, and just ask yourself, what's that one thing you can do to decrease your load and increase your detox?
Yeah. And just pick one thing. So, you know, what I always tell people is, look, we didn't get into this mess overnight. We can't expect to get out of it overnight. I know that, you know, in hearing some of, you know, part of, I have no desire ever in life to be like a shock and awe person, because I just think that it's just not the best way to get someone's attention. And I think that it's not worth sugarcoating the issue. We want to tell it like it is. And if that serves to motivate people to go, you know, oh crap, let me go to do something about it, great. And that's really what, you know, I want to encourage people to do, is to actually start doing something about it. You know, what's great is that when people start doing something about it, manufacturers, large-scale companies are starting to respond by shifting the products, shifting the landscape. And, you know, that shifts the landscape for everyone. So we have big box stores like Costco, Target, Walmart, CVS now, has all pledging to start removing some of these questionable chemicals from their store brand products, having more transparency about the other products that they share. And that's because of consumer demand, because people are taking small action steps like buying this shampoo instead of that shampoo. So when we can kind of take action, we change it for ourselves, but we also help change it for everybody else, which I think is so important. I think that pick one thing. If it takes a year to go through all those things, great. It takes a year. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like people don't need to feel like they have to, take their big sweeping arm to their personal care products and cleaners and throw them all in the garbage. You recognize that that can be expensive. So what I tell people, if they're not willing to do that, is finish the product. And when it's time to buy a new one, make a better choice. That's it. Mm-hmm. And because the consumer demand in this is shifting in this area, across all industries, we're seeing so many more options for people in terms of products, safer products that are available all over the place that just didn't exist 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, safer laundry detergent, safer personal care products, safer household cleaners, everything. Mm-hmm. So it's just, there's no more excuses is basically what it is. If Target is selling cleaner personal care products and cleaner laundry detergents and cleaner soaps, we have no excuse.
Yeah, agreed. And so can you maybe share, I think you have some resources on your website too. If those people are looking at some, whether it's books or like suggested products, do you have any, like a list of any of those on your website?
So people can just go to lauraadler.com/resources and you'll see, we're constantly adding new pages to that, right now. And this is not exhaustive lists, but there are products that I've looked at and I vetted and I'm like, yeah, these are great. So we've got things like, skincare, personal care products, makeup, deodorants is always a big one. We have feminine care products. We have oral health products. We're working on household cleaners, laundry detergents, that's coming up. And then if people want to read about it, there's, certainly there is on one of those resource pages, a page on books that they can read. If people really want to kind of dig in and start taking action on this, they can also check out my intro course. Even though it's intended for practitioners, I've had hundreds and hundreds of just regular people who are motivated, they're kind of nerdy, they want to know more than just what they're going to see on a blog post somewhere, and they want to start taking action, then they are welcome to come in into that course. It's, it's low cost, it's short, someone can do it in a weekend, and it can really help kind of guide them on what are those action steps. So there's lots of different places. People can follow me on Instagram. I give lots of good stuff on there, good info on there. My Instagram is @environmentaltoxinsnerd. So there's lots of resources. I'm certainly not the only person who's out there kind of beating this drum, they can come and check me out, or kind of go down the rabbit hole if they choose.
Yeah, and I love what you do too. Is that you're saying you aren't the only person, but constantly through your emails, you're sharing about what other people are doing too. So yeah. It's almost like I say, sign up for your email list, and then you'll learn what everyone else is doing too.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much information that's coming out now. We are in the information age, and for better or worse, we're all on our computers and devices, for better and worse, maybe for worse than for better. But, we have at our fingertips this sort of dearth of information. And the pro of that is that we can find answers to almost anything that we want. The con of that is navigating and sifting through that, so overwhelming, and most people just don't have the time, don't have the inclination or desire to do it, and I just happen to be somebody who likes sifting through that information. So I try to present all of what I'm learning in this sort of concise, digestible, actionable manner, because at the end of the day, action is what we want to be taking. When we are in action, we are out of overwhelm. So overwhelm happens when we do nothing. And as soon as we start taking action, that overwhelm tends to dissipate. So we do one thing at a time, one step forward at a time. And I think that collectively we can, have a tremendous positive impact on our health issues and our health in general, sort of collectively for the marketplace as we start shifting these purchases. And we already see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to be clear, your intro course, is that your Tools for Toxicity course?
Yes, it's Tools for Teaching Toxicity. We're gonna go through a name change some point later this year. It's gonna get a little makeover because literally no one in the 7 years I've been teaching this class can say that name. So we're gonna find something that's a little bit better. But yes, that's the intro course that people can check out if they feel so inclined to kind of dig.
I'll link it in here too, because I've been eyeing that course too. So I'll just say this, by looking at it and learning about toxins the way I have, it's just, that's a really good intro course, it looks like. So guys, if you're really interested, check it out.
Yeah, girl, get in there.
Yes, I know. I'm almost waiting for Christmas and be like, can someone buy it for me for Christmas? But I can buy it. I just need
to sale at Thanksgiving.
Okay. Noting that, this goes out later. But
yeah, it's going on sale at Thanksgiving. We're doing a 3-day sale. So I think it's 30% off. So
awesome. I mean, even when it's priced out right now is good. Like,
yeah, you know, and honestly, it's that way. Because I want this to be a stupid yes for people, because the topic is overwhelming. And I think what we all need is somebody to hold our hand and say, look, here's exhibit A, here's exhibit B, here's exhibit C, so that you don't, there's hundreds of hours of research, there's hundreds of research citations in this content. And, you know, I want people to not be, you know, it's intended to be accessible. So, because I think it's just so important that at the very least, people are doing everything in their homes. And if for their practitioner, for their clients or patients, that's covered in that course. It's the fundamentals. It's what I call the non-negotiables. Let's all do this. Even if we only did this, we'd be way ahead of the game.
Right. Okay. So good. I'll make sure to link that in. So thank you so much for everything you shared.
You're so welcome.
This is like a masterclass times two. And so I think everyone's going to be really blessed. So thank you everyone for listening as well. Be sure to check the blog post with all the links that Laura mentioned, and be sure to join the Healthy Body Community for Women on Facebook to kind of just unpack this podcast. So thank you again, Laura.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, friends, that's another episode of the Healthy Body Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. And be sure to let me know how this podcast impacted you. Also, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, share this podcast with others that you know really just need some support and encouragement along their healthy journey. And of course, don't forget about the Healthy Body Academy that launches in November 2018. This academy is going to be a transformational space for women to get the support they need for to get a healthy body naturally, sustainably, in a fun and joyful way. So go to madewell345.com/healthybodyacademy and get all the details there. Okay? All right. That's really it this time. And I will see you on the next episode.